time to take a listen to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by Island Design. Last Saturday, Dion caught up with one of the organisers of the Cystic Fibrosis fundraiser and talked to local musician Ian Simpson. But first, novelist Dorothy Fowler.
Right, coming up next, we have Miss Dorothy Fowler joining me in the studio. Now, Dorothy is a first-time novelist. Good morning, Dorothy. How are you?
Oh, good. Good morning, Dion.
And she lives on Waiheke, and she's going to tell us about her book. What is the name of your book that you've written, Dorothy?
It's called What Remains Behind.
Awesome. And what's it about?
Well, it's a mystery set on an archaeological dig up on the Kaiapara. And I've located it on my late husband's old farm, which has a wonderful old house, very spooky and deserted, and the ideal thing to base a mystery novel on, I thought.
Oh, it sounds great. And I hear you've got another book coming up.
Yes, the publisher was keen to have one with the same heroine in it, Chloe Davis, lady archaeologist, and this one's based on Waiheke.
Oh, this is interesting.
I've lived down here since 1987, so I'm nearly a local.
Yeah.
And I do know the island well. But in order not to tread on toes, I've chosen settings that are made of different bits of the island all composed together. So it's not set on a particular place or involving particular people. And I'm always very careful not to use real people in there.
Well, and are you a long-term resident? You've lived here for
Yes, 22 years now.
There you go, Waiheke's novelist. Are there many other writers on Waiheke that you know?
Quite a few, quite a few. There's Janet Hunt with her wonderful book about the wetlands.
Of course.
And one of the tutors on the Master of Creative Writing that I did last year was Mike Johnson.
Okay.
From Up Crescent Roadway. He was one of the mentors on the course, but he mentored another writer, not me.
Wow.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get Emily Perkins as a mentor, which was a wonderful thing to have.
So how long have you been inspired to write a book?
Well, I needed one more paper for a BA in Archaeology and Ancient History, and I was already doing four papers, and I thought, oh, five end-of-year exams, and the creative writing paper didn't have an exam at the end, so I thought, oh, well, this is good. Provided I just spell everything right and hand it all in on time, I probably won't actually fail. But from the first day I turned up there, I just thought, wow, this is me. This is what I want to do.
Yeah. Wow.
And it just sort of fell onto the page really quickly, and I wrote two drafts between March and October.
Wow.
Of 80,000 words, which is...
Wow, that's very impressive.
Our class... all actually managed to get their two drafts finished in that period, which apparently no class has ever done before. So we were writing away like 100 paper hangers there. But that is quite quick for a book.
Yeah.
But and the second one is slower because it's much easier to get distracted if you haven't got to hand your 5,000 words in every week to Emily. It's a lot easier to lie about the house and find other things you would rather do.
Wow. Yeah, so you think you've found your niche?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm going to give it a darn good go anyway.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's just been such a thrill to see, like, your own book sitting there on bookshelves.
Wow. That must be such an honour.
Yeah, it was a huge thrill. Probably, when the publisher rang me up and said, yes, we'll take it. I was just about insensible for about 3 days.
Congratulations.
Yeah, but no, it was super, and it is huge fun to do.
So that the main person in the book is called?
Chloe Davis. And she's an archaeologist. She's younger than me because she still has to run about and clock people with things and avoid getting shot and things like that, which I'm getting a bit creaky to do. She's married, she's a mother, she's juggling family responsibilities and responsibilities to her wider family and to the students who are with her on the dig.
Yeah.
And also to the archaeology because she really wants it to be right and she wants to know what went down.
Yeah.
And the book is written in two time streams. There's Chloe in the modern times and there's also a Victorian diary that roughly a okay. third of it is Victorian. There's, we have a couple of chapters of Chloe and then a chapter from Charity, who is a young girl living on a religious settlement up on this piece of land back in the 1870s, 1880s.
Wow.
And as Chloe digs down through the dig, she finds clues as to what went on, and then the diary runs along beside,
beside it, saying
what really happened. And there are mysteries in each time stream which the answer needs both time streams to find, like Little Charity in the old time stream never ever really finds out what happens.
Yeah.
And Chloe would never have known for sure without the diary.
Without the diary. Oh, this sounds all very intriguing.
And writing them both and getting them to tie up in a bow at the end was huge fun to do. I did really enjoy it.
I imagine.
And I left it right to the end before I decided who the baddie was and who did it. I wrote it so it could have been several people. And I only sort of had one night of thinking,
who's it really going to be? Well, don't tell us because
we won't go out and get your book.
And if we want to know a bit more about this book, which is called What Remains Behind, which bookshops will we find it?
Take Note had a big pile of them and Whitcalls Downtown has it.
That's great.
And the Auckland Library System have bought a number of them.
Yay.
So I don't know how long it takes to filter through to the library here, but it will be in the library.
That is fantastic. Yeah. So if you are interested in reading Dorothy Fowler's first ever novel, it's called What Remains Behind. Sounds really good. If you're not up for buying it, maybe you haven't got enough pennies in your pocket. No excuse. So, but you can get yourself along to the library and get it out there, or you can find it at Take Note, which is in Onedoa, or the downtown Whitcalls. Hey, that's awesome. And now what would, just one last thing before she takes off. If you could say to people who are interested in writing, give them some advice, or what would it be?
Just sit down and do it. Don't even think. Just sit down and write and then look at it and you will really be surprised at what you can do.
There you go. There you go, people. No excuses. Get out there and give it a go if that's what tickles your fancy. Hey, thanks, Dorothy, for joining us
today. Thank you, Dion.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
We have Miss Danielle, who is an instigator for the fundraiser this evening. Can you tell me what the fundraiser is about, Danielle?
The fundraiser tonight at Morrow Hall is raising money for cystic fibrosis to try and find a cure.
Yay! Yeah. And a cure is something we want. And why does it affect you so specially?
Because my daughter, Madison, who's nearly two, she suffers from the disease.
Right. And what is cystic fibrosis?
It's a genetic disease caused from both parents that we both carry the gene, Jeff and I, which we didn't know. And we made Madison and, yeah.
Wow. And who's coming together for this fundraiser tonight?
Everybody's been fantastic. Yeah. We've got Full Stop, Al Reeve, Aaron Carpenter, Neil Goshball, Nikki Nartite and Ian Simpson.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fantastic night.
I so wanted to go, but to anyone else out there who wants to go as well, it's sold out weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great night. You might just have to hang around outside or something.
Yeah.
Get the goss from someone else. Awesome. And now for people who are planning to have babies, is there something that they can do? Can you get checked or is it?
Not really. It's from the, once the baby's born, from the Guthrie Heel prick test.
Yeah.
That's the way that they find out. Yeah. But there is, I mean, there's a few, if you've got it in your family, then get tested before. Both your partners should get tested. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what does cystic fibrosis mean for your daughter? What are the symptoms?
She has daily physiotherapy twice a day. she has enzyme replacement tablets because her pancreas can't digest food. So she has them. They have a high fatty, high calorie diet to help them go the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And life expectancy is pretty short. Each individual obviously is different. But I think it's around about 30 at the moment. So, but there is a lot of people out there, you know, who live a lot longer and people who live a lot shorter. So,
and a lot of people doing fundraising to help the research to get a cure. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, are there other people on the island who...
Yeah, there's three in total. There's two other boys.
Wow.
Yeah, so one of the parents tonight is going to be there. So,
yeah. And so for people who want to find out a bit more about this, what do they do? Do they talk to their local GP or...?
Yeah, they can do, or they can go onto the CF website. It's Cystic Fibrosis Association, NZ. They can go on there and have a look and it'll give you a bit more detail and find out that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for those people who did miss out on getting the ticket tonight, not only is it a gig, but actually being able to give some support to this, you know, raising funds. If someone still wanted to, like, give you some funds, how would they go about?
Yeah, they can. Well, we have Cystic Fibrosis Week between the 3rd and the 9th of August. That's when we're actually raising money, and that's when we wanted it, but we couldn't get the band and the hall on the same night. But if anybody does want to make a donation, you can go to the website and make a donation, or you can phone me. My number is 372-4382. And you can, and we'll put the rest of the money towards it. And that'd be great.
Oh, that's sound. And have you got a number that you're trying to hit, trying to raise?
No, not this year. It's more about creating awareness. Obviously, the more money we make, the better. But this year was mainly about the awareness.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't even know it's out there.
No.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Well, good on you for getting out there and giving it all the support. And
thank you.
All the best.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. That was Danielle with the... talking about the Cystic Fibrosis fundraiser this evening. So if you do want to make a donation, either go to the website, the CF website, or you can give Danielle a call on 372-4382. That's Danielle or Jeff, and make your donation. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Ian Simpson. Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, it's good. We're cruising. You gave us a reason to go out the house today.
Yay.
So, yeah, we finally made it.
Yay. I've dragged him out of the house. And I dragged him out because there's this little acoustic club happening at Nourish. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's been really good so far. We've had all three of them so far. And they're building quite nicely, and we've had a lot of people saying good things about it, but it's really just an opportunity for people to see and people to play in that small, intimate space.
Yeah.
Rather than the theatre or the Rocks, you know, which are great venues, but it's just a different
feeling.
Energy. Yeah, it's great. It's working really nice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I went to the last one and got to hear the three-legged horse trio, and it's a great space.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I enjoy playing in that. It's a really good listening space for people, and also for the performer. It really sort of turns on something quite nice.
Yeah. A bit more sort of communication between the audience and the...
Yeah, like playing in people's front rooms. Yeah. You know, it's sort of, for musicians, it's a good way of just being with people in the room. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet.
And you've got a gig coming up tonight?
I'm playing in the Mora Hall with the Big Cystic Fibrosis fundraiser, which should be a hell of a night.
Good stuff.
With Full Stop and Al Reeves and Aaron and Neil and Nikki and Miles and Chris. So, yeah, it's going to be a hell of a night, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll be shooting down for a sound check after this.
Hey, what's coming up at the next acoustic night? Acoustic club?
Yeah, it's August 21st is the next one. And so far we're going to have, definitely going to have Craig and Leonie from Mother Tongue to come down and play an acoustic duo thing, which should be fun. And then Also, we're possibly going to have Frankie Hill's going to come down, hopefully. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not confirmed yet, but that's the general idea. And then we'll just fit stuff in around that.
That's fantastic.
Well.
So is this just a winter thing that you've created, or...?
It seemed like a good time to start it. There's not really much going on, so everybody's sort of looking for reasons to... Especially the businesses are looking for ways of creating a sense of community and getting people in. And Nourish are really into that idea at the moment, so they're very open to a few things that they've got on.
Yeah.
They've got the kidders going in there, like the first Friday of every month, all the little kids go in there and have an open mic night, basically.
Oh, that's fantastic.
With, Baza Kajan organises that, and that's a great night as well.
What a great idea.
So I think they're just going to have a regular Friday thing going, and then when we hit the summer, who knows, you know, I think there's, definitely have lots of things happening.
Yeah. Maybe an outdoor venue?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of ideas around that, so we'll just see how we go. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But doing the acoustic, you know, thing, it's, you can do it anywhere, really. It's nice and easy. It doesn't have to get too loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how we go.
And you're going to treat us with a little live to ear?
Yeah, I'll play a couple of songs, warm up.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to set up Mr. Ian Simpson, and he's going to treat us with a little song.
Yeah. I quite like that last song there. It's about all the energy I have from it at the moment.
I'll want you when the storm comes in, 'cause I'll want you through your thick and thin. I'll hold you tight when you're all alone, 'cause you're the best that I've ever known. 'Cause I'll need you when the world is fine, 'cause I'll need you when I've had my wine. Thank you.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. I just had to pick myself up off the floor. That was great. Hey, thank you, Ian, for coming into the studio and talking to us about
that's cool.
And sharing this song. I just have to ask you, did you write that song?
Yes, yeah. I wrote that song from quite a while ago. I think I was living in Mount Eden at the time. About 12 years ago, I think.
Wow, it's a very beautiful song.
Yeah, cool, thanks. Cool.
Okay, so listen out for the Acoustic Club, people, and get yourself along, because it is a great way to spend a nice wintry evening with some mulled wine at Nourish.
You've been listening to interviews from Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you by Island Designs every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. The interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7pm and Island Life can be downloaded as a podcast from our website www.waihekiradio.org.nz.